Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, coming up in tonight's programme, we'll be looking at the thorny issue of land designation and the need for appropriate compensation, the IFA elections for President and Deputy President, and the legislation concerning the microchipping of dogs. Delighted to say that IFA National Chairman Ger Bergen joins me on the line. Ger, this week there's been a poster campaign was launched down the country in County Offaly associated with the long-standing issues surrounding land designation. Perhaps you can bring us right up to speed of where things lie now, because with the change and lack of formation of a new government, things are dragging.
Good evening, Chris, and thank you for having me on your show. Yes, the thorny issue of land designations, and we've had them around since the mid-90s. There was an agreement with the National Parks and Wildlife Service and government at the time, Martin Cullen, the Minister of the time, in 2003, in terms of the compensation that would be received for people affected by designations. There's a wide range of them across the country, from hill country to river basins, Turlocks, all the rest of it. And we've had a situation where since 2012, the agreement that was there previously has not been honoured. And due to the cutbacks, people were not compensated properly for the designation on their lands. We launched a poster campaign in County Offaly today to highlight this issue and to say to National Parks and Wildlife and Birdwatch not to come on to the property of farmers affected by designations until this issue is resolved. We have a very clear policy, Chris, no designations without compensation, because these designations have resulted in severe restrictions on farmers' ability to farm their lands, first of all, and make an income out of it, and secondly, made, in many cases, their land worthless or as near to worthless because they cannot farm it, cannot plant it, and so many different restrictions, and that is unacceptable and cannot continue.
I suppose some of this is coming, things like SACs. I mean, a lot of it is a result of what's happened in Europe. So can we compare ourselves with other countries, and are farmers compensated in other countries under national schemes there?
Yes, farmers are compensated under schemes across other countries in Europe. And we were in Brussels recently and met the relevant section in the DG Agri, where we were informed that there was no issue with compensating to farmers properly through the National Rural Development Plan. They had no issue there, didn't require an amendment to the Rural Development Plan for that to happen. The issue here is very simple. It's reflecting the loss of income and loss of value to farmers because of the designations on their privately owned lands. It's not a principle that we can accept that the state can pull the rug from under people, whether it's European law or not, without adequately compensating them. And this has gone on long enough. And there's another issue, Chris, there now, particularly on the rivers, after the difficult winter we've had and severe flooding, where farmers cannot do remedial works to rivers or indeed to their lands to try and keep them within, useful agriculturally. And particularly in the case of dredging the rivers, we can no longer tolerate what has gone on for the past number of years for normal maintenance works to at least maintain the river flow and the channel flow could mitigate in many circumstances the effect of flooding, and that's another issue that we want dealt with. And as you say, we're going through a government negotiation of some shape or form at the moment, and we don't know where it's going to go. But I think one of the clear messages, Chris, out of the general election is a general dissatisfaction in rural Ireland with the uneven recovery and the difficulties that people have had over the past number of years. And this is one of the issues that needs to be addressed under any programme for government. We see Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and many rural independents in some sort of a negotiation, and one would hope that all three would have the interests of rural Ireland to the forefront. And we're making a very clear tone in that issue and across a good number of other issues. There must be delivery now for farmers. And if you have time, Chris, just a couple of issues to go into there, particularly the dry stock sector, direct support for the sheep and suckler sector is absolutely essential. A reversal of the cuts in the disadvantaged areas, the ANCs, that happened since 2008. doing something in terms of taxation, in terms of volatility, to help the dairy and grain sectors, which are going through a difficult time. Increased investment in these areas and improvements to the environmental schemes. These are some of the areas that we've put in there that need to be faced up to in any programme for government, along with the issue we're dealing with today.
Just back briefly to the whole land designation. Are we going to have a scenario that a flat rate would be set for certain compensation, or is it going to go down to looking at each individual farmer, the land that maybe he can't use, the loss of income? One suspects there could be a lot of bureaucracy there. So how do you get a system that's going to be efficient?
Well, what we want is the reinstatement of the existing agreement, in which you probably, in truth, had a combination of both systems. You have compensation through the environmental schemes, which is not adequate or too low, and you have a differentiation between commonage land and privately owned natural land, and we want to see that resolved. And also in the old National Parks and Wildlife Scheme that has been allowed to run into the sand, so to speak, you had compensation that reflected the individual farmers, the impact on the individual holding. So that's what, this isn't about reinventing the wheel or anything like that, Chris. It's about going back to an existing agreement that was there since 2003 and providing the funding for it. That's the issue, and it can be done because it already has been done for a good number of years.
I'm speaking with IFA National Chairman Ger Bergen. Ger, changing tack somewhat, and the second biggest election of the year, the IFA elections all over the country, 75,000 members, over 900 branches. Quite a lot of the branches in Donegal have already voted, 30 branches in Donegal, 3 candidates for the post of president, 3 for deputy president, and huge interest amongst members.
Yes, look, there's been a very intense campaign, particularly for the candidates over the last 2 months, visiting every county and debates in every county, and I think that was very important. The branch voting has started since Tuesday night. We'll continue until the 15th of April. That's just over two weeks away. We would be saying to members, anywhere that you can, please turn out and vote. Have your say in the new leadership of the association. This is your opportunity. We have a very democratic process in that regard. The members decide. The branch meetings are on, and members will be notified every day, either by text or by post or both, of the branch meeting. We're doing our best to make sure that the branch meetings are run very smoothly and very quickly, so that people can vote quickly. Because we understand, like, this is a difficult time of the year. It's been a very busy time for farmers. It's a very late spring, and people are under pressure, and we appreciate that. So we're trying to facilitate the process as speedily as possible. The council will take place on the 19th of April, and we will have our new president elected then, and the AGM the following week on the 27th of April. And I think, from the debates all around the country, in Donegal and elsewhere, very clear message to the candidates and to IFA in terms of representing farmers and getting back to basics, farmers' rights, farmers' incomes, and a voluntary association run for the members. I think that there's a farm income crisis out there now, and that's going to be the key issue for the newly elected leadership and the new president, and we're working to make sure that those issues are brought to the fore in terms of the government negotiations that we referred to there earlier, in terms of the issue we were talking about earlier. Across all the sectors, we have a serious farm income situation. The dairy sector, over the last year, prices dropped by a third. Beef prices flatlining completely when the need to rise. Extremely difficult situation of low prices in the cereal sector for the last 3 years, and huge challenges for the pig and potato and sheep sectors. So we need to get this income crisis right to the heart of government and economic policy and the issues of today for this country and for rural Ireland. And to do that, people need to give as strong as possible mandate to whoever their candidates of their choice is for president, deputy and all the others. And that's why we need them to come out and vote and send a clear and strong message.
And that was Ger Bergen, the IFA National Chairman. And just to remind you of the candidates in those IFA presidential elections, running for the post of president are Henry Burns of Laois, Flor McCarthy of Kerry, and Joe Healy of Galway. And the 3 candidates contesting the position of deputy president are Nigel Renahan of Monaghan, Pat Farrell of Kildare, and Richard Kennedy of Limerick. Under the Animal Health and Welfare Act 2013, all dogs must be microchipped and registered on an authorised database. I've been speaking to IFA National Sheep Committee Chairman John Linsky about this legislation and the need to remind all dog owners, including farmers, that they need to microchip and register their dogs.
Yes, Chris. Last November, all pups were supposed to be microchipped and registered, and now all dogs going forward from tomorrow must be microchipped and registered with the database.
And do you think most people have really taken heed of it?
Well, there will be substantial fines going forward, I hear, and there is a need for, you know, they act responsibly and ensure that their dog is microchipped, because when it's in legislation, it's a different thing. It is part of the law, and that's it.
There may be some people who feel this is sort of more of the big brother state looking after everything and more bureaucracy, but the bottom line is, particularly for the farming community, you know, there are great advantages here, because if there is a troublesome dog, it could help in tracing them.
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. If a dog happens to stray and gets lost on an owner that wants to have him back, if the dog is microchipped and got, they can be returned to the owner quite quickly. And then on the other hand, if the dog does damage or attacks sheep or is involved in some incident like that, the owner can be traced as well. So there's a benefit to the flock owner and to the owner of the dog if he happens to stray and gets lost.
Now, it's almost an annual message, but you put it out there. There's no doubt about it. Dogs can inflict horrendous damage in sheep flocks. And you've been saying, we're talking, what, 35,000 sheep farmers and 2.5 million ewes. So, you know, that's the scale of things out there.
Yes, and they're spread right around the country. They're not in one particular area. You have sheep farmers in, I think, every parish in the country, so it's a worry and a fear that can happen in any area, but hopefully this will be a help that will lead to more responsible dog ownership, and that's what we'll be calling for. We don't want to see dogs being shot or dogs being put down. We that's the last thing we want to see happen, but we also don't want to see sheep flocks attacked.
Yeah. And the IFA do keep statistics on this, and we're talking about 300 to 400 attacks per annum, and possibly up to 4,000 sheep nationally killed or injured.
Well, our figures show that on average in each attack there is about 11 sheep killed or injured in the attacks. We had a case in Carlow recently where there was 28 sheep killed in one attack. And then there might be the other attack where they'd be on a savaged a bit and that they would make a recovery. But it can also have the effect going forward on a flock that they are affected for quite some time. They don't thrive and there's a whole load of issues with them. So we'd be pushing hard for dog owners to act responsibly and know where the dog is at all times and have them under control.
And just back to the microchipping, there's different costs involved. I know some dogs were microchipped for nothing, but if you do have to bring your dog to a vet, the costs can range, we're talking typically maybe 25 euro?
25 to 35 euro, that's the charge for the microchipping. And it's a once in a lifetime that the dog has to be microchipped. So if you spread it over 10 or 12 years, the average life of the dog, it's very little per year. And it can be a big help going forward, especially for sheep farmers and for dog owners as well.
And what exactly does the microchip contain? It has sort of the details. It's almost like a passport inside the animal.
What it has is a little chip, a microchip, with a number that can be read by a machine, and that number can be traced to the database that it has been registered to. And the name and address will show up then of the owner of the dog.
And if a dog has strayed and it's found, how does one then read the microchip in the animal? Is there a scanner?
Your local vet can scan the microchip, and they can check it through the database then and find the owner.
And the IFA themselves, is the organisation pretty pleased with the way this has all come about? I mean, you've been involved in the behind-the-scenes things over a couple of years.
Well, we have been pushing all the time for some form of legislation that would ensure that you'd have owners taking responsibility for their dogs. And if they are registered to them, that's the first step in responsible ownership, we believe. Of course, it's down to the owner as well. The onus is on the dog owner to ensure that they are under control. And even hill walkers that let dogs loose when they're out walking on the hills, this should never happen because there could be sheep nearby, and if they chase them, they will not come back when they're called.
John Linsky, the IFA National Sheep Committee Chairman. Well, that's just about it for tonight's programme. Let's just give you the livestock prices. Sheep prices, hoggets up to €5.80 a kilo to 24 kilos. Spring lamb, €6.50 a kilo to 20 kilos. Ewes, €3 to €3.30 a kilo. Cattle prices, steers making €3.90 a kilo. Heifers, €4.05 a kilo. O-grade bulls, €3.70 a kilo. U-grade bulls, €3.90 a kilo. And cows, O-grade, €3.20 a kilo. R-grade, €3.40 a kilo. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of Farming News and Views. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, have a good week.